Hi, I'm Ethan Suplee. Welcome to American Glutton. Outside of acting, my two favorite things to do are diet and eat. I have a very complicated relationship with food, and on this podcast, we're going to talk about all of it. Food as entertainment, food as sport, food as fuel. I'll talk to experts and the average person, just like you and me. Today on American Glutton, I talk to Jake Steinfeld. You may know him as Body by Jake. In trying to maintain social distancing, this was a phone call. Jake has a lot of great ideas and was actually really the first guy to try and get people to work out at home. He created a lot of gadgets and gizmos that could get you a full body workout at your house without buying basically an entire gym. He's actually a really, really important guy in the fitness world and truly one of my heroes. I hope you enjoy our conversation today. Jake?
Yes.
Hey, it's Ethan Suplee.
Ethan, man.
Jake.
How you doing, man?
Welcome to American Glutton Podcast. Listen, this is a really unique time, and I normally would say, like, let's just wait until we can get together and have a talk in person, which I hope we can still do. But right now, in this instance, I want to talk to you about what people can do, because I think you changed the entire landscape of exercise in America.
Wow, thanks, man.
And a lot of that was what people can do in their homes.
Right.
I want to get some ideas from you. I want to talk to you about everything, but like right off the bat, I would love to hear what some of your ideas on, like, somebody stuck in their house for a couple of weeks.
You got it. I'll give you the whole, I can do the whole rundown for you. It'd be great.
What do we do? If you're going to be stuck in your house for 2 weeks, like, I mean, you know, it's 2 or 3 weeks, where does one start?
Oh, okay. So, hey, look at you. You already been, we've been rolling. We've been rocking and rolling here. This is, I get it. Yeah.
We're into it.
So listen, you're in your house, and let me just take you back for 2 seconds. We have a similar but different how we came to each other here, right?
Yeah.
I was an overweight kid. I had a bad stutter growing up. I know you had challenges with your weight. Did an incredible job changing your life around, Ethan. This is really the reason why I'm on the phone with you, man. I mean, you are truly a don't quit. You live that don't quit story, that don't quit lifestyle, and it is that. It's about changing one's lifestyle. My dad bought me a set of weights when I was 13 years old, and it changed my life because not only did the weights build my body, you know, but it kind of built my confidence and self-esteem. And, you know, when you have confidence and you have self-esteem, you can achieve anything you want in your life.
Let me ask you a question about that, Jake.
Yeah.
Your dad buys you a set of weights. Now, I believe when I was about that age, around that age, my dad brought weights into the house too, hoping that would do it for me. It didn't do it for me. What was it about that when you were 13 and your dad bought you a set of weights? What was it that motivated you to do it and then stick to it?
You know what? We are very similar because I remember the moment he brought the weights home, set them up in the backyard. I was born in Brooklyn, New York, and raised in Baldwin, Strong Island. And we had this little patio in the back of the house, and he set up this weight bench. And I remember him calling me outside, and I'm looking at this thing, and he says, come on, let's do some benching. And I kind of looked down at my Twinkies, you know, and I said, no, this is really not something for me. And he was a guy that would only ask you to do something once, and he wouldn't ask again. And the weight sat outside for the whole summer. Now, I'm the oldest of four kids. I lived in the basement, and East Coast people know, but although West Coast people now, there are basements and houses. But I lived in the basement, and let me just paint the picture for you, man. I had this afro, right, with this yes-no mustache, you know, a little bit of hair here, no hair there, a little bit of hair there, and then these make-believe sideburns that I thought I was growing. And, I had braces, too. As a matter of fact, it's a very sexy look.
You were the whole package back then.
I had the whole thing going on. Forget about it. I had the whole thing going on. I wasn't much of a student either. I wasn't very good at school. I would try to study, and I'd sit in my bedroom, and my dad had asked me when the summer was over, take the weights, put them in the laundry room, just leave them in there. And for whatever the reason was, it's one night. And I'm a big believer in life is about moments. And we'll talk about moments because this is a moment that we're living in right now with this craziness going on. But it's important that we all need to keep our heads together. Yeah. And we'll talk about that through exercise, through fitness.
Right.
How you can do that. But this was a moment, man, where I'm sitting doing social studies homework, or whatever it was, and, you know, the teacher says, highlight the most important things, and I'm coloring every line. I don't know what I'm doing. And for whatever the reason was this night, I turned and looked. Sticking out of the laundry room door was this straight bar with some weights on it. I must have seen it a million times and never did anything about it. And this moment, I get up, I bring the weights into my bedroom, I put this bar on top of, I had this ottoman, right? I had this little skinny mirror that I put on top of the ottoman. I also used to love to listen to Frank Sinatra as I did it my way. And at the end of Frank's album, there's this like 10 seconds applause for Frank, this wild applause. And I'll never forget this. I cued the music up. There was no music. I just cued the needle on the record to the applause. I put on these headsets. And I'm looking in the mirror, by the way, I had this tank top on, my stomach hanging over my underpants. And I'm looking in the mirror, listening to this wild applause. And I start doing my bicep curls, visualizing Jake Steinfeld doing his bicep curls in front of 50,000 screaming fans at Madison Square Garden.
That's such a great visual.
That was the beginning of my insanity. It was like all of a sudden, Ethan, the weights and I got together and it empowered me. For whatever it was, it's like all of a sudden I was the fat, funny guy in school. And then it was like the girls start to, you know, feel your muscles and you're standing up a little bit straighter. You're building that confidence. And every day I just was so psyched to work out. And that was that moment for me. I mean, for you, I know you're interviewing me and your fans listen to you and probably heard your story a bunch, but I'm enamored with what you've been able to do because it's just amazing the turnaround. You've transformed. You're a different human being.
Yeah, truly a different human being. It really honestly took, I wish I had that moment. I mean, listen, I think I wish I had that moment at 13 and what a different life I could have had. But then I'm pretty squared away with happiness with the life I have right now. And so I think if I'd done something so drastically different early on, maybe I don't wind up with the life I have now. So I'm slightly conflicted in that way. But it really did take a girl kind of loving me regardless to kind
which
of...
Which was a great story.
Yeah.
You told me that story, and I'm going to tell it because I've told it, and I told it to my wife Tracy. We've been married going on 32 years. You know, in Hollywood, that's pretty good. One wife. I've got four kids. And I was telling my wife your story after. I mean, listen, I've been doing what I've been doing now for 43 years, man.
Amazing.
You know, and I've been very blessed. I've been very successful in the fitness industry and sports and all kinds of different sports industry. But I come across a lot of stories, a lot of people, a lot of great people I've met who have overcome adversity and become incredible people. It's not about, and you know, when we talk about success now, we'll talk for a few minutes, I'm sure. Success is not about just making dough.
Right.
It isn't just about money. Right? Success is having a beautiful family and a loving wife or a loving husband, whatever that is. Everybody's value and what success means is very personal and very different to one another,
yeah,
to each other. Right, man? So when you tell me that, when I asked you that on the phone just a week ago when you and I were talking, how'd you do it? And you said, this girl didn't see me at the weight that you were at. And I'm just looking, and I told my wife, Tracy, I said, and she said, this woman's got to be just the most amazing person on the planet to just love you for that. Wouldn't think about this for one second. If everybody was like your wife, how she was to you, if everybody treated everybody even a little bit like she did to you and does to you, how much better, how great would this country be, this world be?
Yeah. I mean, and I'm slightly conflicted because I don't think I make it without that. I don't think
it wasn't time for you. You see, that's the thing. It wasn't time. It took your wife to tell you, to give you that love, to just with unconditionally, right? That's what did it for you. Hey, listen, you can sit there and I can talk and I can do my rapid-do, as I say, man, as I've done, you know, whether it was I was the first guy to do personal fitness training one-on-one with, you know, the big Hollywood stars, and then on television, created television networks and, you know, fitness products. I could look in that camera and urge you to take the shot.
Right.
But until you make that decision, and you know this, man, until you decide, right? Because I'm a big believer in, you know, we can wish. I can wish I'm in great shape. I can wish I get the new job. I can wish I can get the girl or whatever. You fill in the blank. A wish changes nothing.
Yeah.
A decision changes everything. And only you know, when you hit that rock bottom, you personally, that it's that, okay, you know, enough is enough. I'm changing the words I can't to I can, and have that ability to have a support system in place. And that was your moment.
Yeah, it really was. And while it hasn't been a straight shot, there have been highs and lows, peaks and valleys. I've never been back to that place since then, since that day that I had the conversation with her, where I, you know, it was a real delusional moment where I was like, if I bring this up, she's going to see me the way I see myself.
It's so great.
Which
it's
I just, you know, which is completely crazy because I'm like, there's an elephant in the room that she's not looking at and it's me, you know, it was a big deal. I've never gotten back there. I've gained weight. I've gone off my diet. I've had some issues, but
you know what though? You know, there are parameters now. It's like, you know, a thoroughbred racehorse when they put those blinders on, you know, on the sides of their eyes. So they're running straight. You know now, man, you know, back in the day, you and me, you know, we could sit down and eat a Volkswagen,
yeah,
you know, and still have room for something else. But you know, now, what you can do, and by the way, I'm a huge believer in, and we talked about this, where, you know, when you're training and when you're getting into, hey, maybe you haven't exercised in a long time, and you're listening to both of us right now talking about this, and there's a lot of people who are listening, because I know you have a lot of fans and a lot of great people who are struggling, more so than ever right now, and anxiety and fear drives people to drink, to eat, right? It's that comfort thing. It makes you feel better. Instead, what about taking 2 minutes for the length of our conversation, just do a push-up?
Yeah.
Just get started. Listen, when I as I said to you, Ethan, man, I was pretty blessed. I came to L.A. to become Mr. America, right? That was my goal. I never achieved the goal because I never took steroids. And it was gut-wrenching to me. It was heartbreaking to me because, look, I came out here summer 1977 when all the dinosaurs still roam the earth. I say, by Arnold and Lou Ferrigno and, you know, and all. It was at the heights of bodybuilding, man. I read all the muscle magazines. I went to college upstate New York, you know, Cornell University. Yeah, I went to Cortland down the street, you know. And I was never a school guy. And I had, you know, pictures. I used to cut out the pictures from Sports Illustrated, cut out the pictures from the muscle magazines, put them on my wall, and visualize, this is what I'm going to be. And when I made the move to California, every muscle magazine said, eat 18 eggs and 24 chickens a day, and you too could become Mr. America. I clucked a lot, but it never happened because nobody mentioned steroids. And I had to make a decision once again in my life at 18 years old. I left a girlfriend, I left my friends, I left my family, I left college, because this is what I was going to do.
Yeah.
You know, passion leads and everything else follows. You know that, man. When you are so passionate about something, whatever it is, hopefully is positive, you go after it, and it becomes very clear. And I had to make this decision, because I told all my friends, I'm going to become Mr. America, and every one of my friends said, come on, were you kidding me, man?
Right.
You're never going to do that. I mean, think about that, too. When you have a dream and you have a passion about something, sometimes it's the people closest to you that are the most, I don't want to say the word negative, that challenge you the most, because whether it's they don't want to see you get hurt, or maybe friends don't really want to see Ethan succeed, because they kind of like him, you know, the way he is.
Right.
You know, the old story, misery loves company. And this is where you have to make your moves, which is what I did. I said, I use that in a positive way. I said, okay, I'm not taking steroids, A, because I'm afraid of them. You know, in fifth grade, we used to do those little TB, tuberculosis tests, the little four-prong thing in your forearm. I'm a bunch older than you, so maybe you never did it, but I used to faint at that stuff.
Yeah. No, I remember that. You get a scar.
Let alone putting a needle in your own buttissimo, right?
Right.
And I'm sitting, I'm catching rays at this apartment complex in Studio City, and I doubled Lou Ferrigno for The Incredible Hulk, right? I was green paint 14 hours a day for another time and another story. But on my off days, I'd be in my apartment complex just catching rays, what every good musclehead does, you know, just catch rays.
You got to.
Right? And this actress had come over, was out of work actress. I was living in this apartment complex with a lot of working, but mostly non-working actors and actresses. She came over to me and she said, look, you know, I see you sitting out here all the time. She introduced herself. Her name was Sandy, and she had this Club Med commercial she had to do, and she needed to get in shape. She looked pretty great, but I think what it really was, and it turned out to be, she needed just the confidence to put a bikini on in front of a lot of people. And she asked if I can come up with a workout for her to help her out with. Ethan, I'm telling you, once again, life's about moments. And I said, well, sure. At that moment, it was 1979, 1980, and Jane Fonda had just come on the scene with high-impact aerobics. And women at the time were very intimidated by using weights.
Right.
And they're going to get big muscles, right? So she says, you know, I like you, Jake, but I don't want to look like you. And I said, well, okay. And I'm just looking at her, and she goes, well, you know, could you come to my boyfriend's house and do the workout there? And I said, okay. She said, how much is it going to cost? I go, I don't know. Give me gas money. You know, for my 1977 white Camaro, I had Jake 77 on the license plate. Always kept a very low profile. Very important, right?
Yeah.
Very important.
You were incognito.
Incognito, baby, you know? She gave me the address, and I came up with this workout, a 30-minute workout. I love training. I love training. That's my drug, right? But I'm not a guy who stays around the gym. I was never big on hanging around in the gym. So I kind of improvised with a 30-minute workout. I used a broomstick, a towel, and a chair. Towel I used for basically resistance training. Hey, that's something new, right? Everyone talks about resistance training today. I was doing it with a towel.
Right.
Right. So if I were to basically say, Ethan, grab this towel with two hands and do a bicep curl, and I'm pulling down on the towel and you're pulling up on the towel, I'm pretty confident I could give you a great resistance and you get a great pump without using weights.
And okay? And that's really as simple as it was, a towel and a broomstick.
It was a towel, broomstick. I used to do twists, right? Lunges, all the balance stuff I did, and a chair. You know, you could do dips with two chairs. You could do push-ups off two chairs. You could put your feet up on the chairs and do incline push-ups, decline push-ups, right? Push-ups, pull-ups, and dips are the three main exercises that you can do, and it's all done without equipment.
Right.
So had this 30-minute workout, went to her boyfriend's house, Beverly Hills, got the address. If you weren't on the cover of Musclehead Digest, I didn't know who you were, right? Ring the doorbell. Guy answers the door. Turns out to be Francis Ford Coppola. And I just look at him and I go, this dude could use a workout too.
That was your first client.
First client was his girlfriend. And they started going to parties and people started saying, you know, this girl Sandy, you look great. What are you doing? And this guy, Jake, comes to my house. He's got this, you know, 30 minutes, a broomstick, a towel, and a chair. He makes you laugh, and he eats too much because they had a great refrigerator, man. I had no dough. And I said, eat after I was done.
A little gas money, some Italian food.
That's it. And then the most important thing was, remember, 1978, 79, it was, I never listed my phone number, guys. You know, Ethan, there was no cell phones, obviously. And when I came from New York, you know, I was a chucklehead, man. And I never listed my phone number. And one thing about, you know, Hollywood is if you're good and people want to get a hold of you and they can't, they seem to want you more. And it became this mystique of who is this guy? You got to get him. And all of a sudden, man, I'm living in Studio City, have this one-room apartment. I have my answering machine. And you remember, maybe you remember these. It had the little tape recording on it, right? And you had a beeper that, you know, you would put up to the phone. It would go, poof, and the messages would rewind and play.
Yeah.
Right? Yep. And if you pressed it twice, you could delete the message. So out of nowhere, I'm getting phone calls from Steven Spielberg, Harrison Ford, Priscilla Presley, Bette Midler, Warren Beatty, Barbara Streisand. I mean, I came from Brooklyn, New York, man. I was upstate New York. And a year and change later, I'm on the Warner jet, traveling, training Harrison Ford for Raiders and Temple of Doom. But most importantly, learning the greatest lesson of my life. I mentioned all these names, right, to get you pumped up. But yeah, more importantly, here I was hanging with them. And I learned that they're no different than any of us.
Right.
No different than you and me. The only difference is they had a dream, and they never quit on their dream, and they never took no for an answer. And it gave me all the incentive in the world, Ethan, to say, you know, I might never direct an ET, but I'm going to have my own success in life. And that's what I try to preach, man, that everybody, you're listening now, you have the opportunity, the ability to achieve anything you want in your life. You stop you. Think about this in your life, Ethan. How many times have you had an idea? You've had an opportunity. You get all pumped up about it. Before you go to bed, you're fired up. You get up in the morning, and before you walk out that door, you come up with 107 reasons why you can't.
I mean, that's 99% of my life is just not knocking myself off my pedestal.
And it's a matter of changing the words. Seriously, something as simple as changing the words I can't to I can. And truly believe in that, man.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Another moment in my life earlier on. I was cut from my eighth grade basketball team, right? And we've all been cut before. And sometimes, you know, like you were saying, man, you know, maybe my life would have been different if you would have met your wife 20 years ago, right? But it all happens the way it happens. And when it happens, it's how you deal and what moves you make. I went out for the eighth grade basketball team, right? I was working out, man, feeling great. I was a pretty damn good basketball player, I have to tell you, buddy, because my mother said, honey, you're a great basketball player.
Right, so you know.
You know, and I went out for the team. I didn't make it. My buddies made it. It was a little embarrassing, and, you know, I felt really crappy. And this girl I knew gave me this poem, true story, called Don't Quit. Ethan, I had no idea. I'm not a religious guy, but that poem, having no idea what it even represented at that moment, has become my life. And I got the poem. I mean, it's a plaque. I could take a picture. I'll send it to you, man. I've got it on my desk. I actually trademarked the words "Don't Quit" in 1981. This is kind of poignant, especially from what we talked about starting on the conversation about. Yeah. You know, look, we're in this crazy situation right now, in this crazy moment, because it's just a moment. It's just a moment, and it's how we all deal together and personally. And this poem, I'm going to read it to you because I think please. It's super important, man. It's called Don't Quit. It's an anonymous poem, and it goes like this. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile, but you have to sigh. When care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns. And many a failure turns about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when you're hardest hit. It's when things seem worst that you must not quit. I mean, Ethan, I want that to become a Bible verse for you and every, I recite this. I have my kids recite it. I mean, I don't make myself, it'll make people do it. It becomes part of your life. And when you're feeling challenged, when you're struggling, this is a moment when we're all panicky. Everybody is. There's fear because this is unknown. We can't see the enemy, right? If you can't see, you can only visualize. That's why those great horror films, the ones that don't really show the stuff, scare you more.
Yeah, because it's really just ultimate, playing off your fear.
That's it. And this is the ultimate horror movie we're living in. Because we can't see the enemy. So everybody needs to take a breath, right? And when we say this, and you opened up, and I appreciate you talking about the fact that the reason why I went to these people's homes is because, very simply, I've always believed you're the king or queen of your castle.
Right.
You're the strongest you could be in your own environment. You're the strongest you could be in your own environment. When you're in your home, man, you're the king or queen. You don't have to worry about getting dressed up, getting dolled up to go to the gym. You're not putting on a face for anybody else but you when you're home. And that's why, on top of the fact of I knew I was showing up, I didn't know if Ethan was going to show up if I ever met you at the gym.
Right.
Right? So I was coming to you. But at this point, at this time, you know, this is a great moment for you. Gyms are closed. Gyms are closed. And instead of going out, look, if you can get outside, it's always great to be able to do that. But simple exercises that you can do that I'm just starting right now. So, you know, I'm new to Instagram, Eth, right?
Okay.
So I have my two young sons now. My youngest guy's at USC. My second dude's at, he's a sophomore at Michigan. He's road crew. They won the national championship last year. So, I'm using him as my model, my demonstrator, and my son Luke is my producer. And, we're doing this Don't Quit Challenge. So it's hashtag Don't Quit Challenge. So just use hashtag Don't Quit Challenge. And I'm official body by Jake. And each day we're doing an exercise. So we started out today as a push up. I'm asking you to do 25. And every day, we're going to do 7 days. We're going to start combining the exercises. And every time you do it, think about this. Every rep that you do, Ethan, and you know this when you're exercising, when you're training. See, to me, it gets to a point when I train, I go into a trance. Because every repetition, I'm thinking about what I need to accomplish during the day. I trained this morning at 3:45 in the morning. I'm a psycho. That's what I do. You know, I love getting up early. But I've already had this interview somewhat with you.
Yeah.
Right? I've visualized my day. And when you're doing these push-ups, tomorrow we have a really cool exercise. We're doing a squat with a side of lunge. And then the third day we're doing, well, I'm not going to tell you. But we've got some great exercises, super simple. Anyone can do them. And just so you're moving your body. If you move your body, man, these endorphins get released. And these endorphins get released, baby. And you start building energy. And it gets rid of that wackoness. It gets rid of the panic. It gets rid of the stress.
I also think it's something that we can control. Do you know
yes.
what I mean? Like in this time where you turn on the news, there's nothing good. It's just
yep.
gonna bum you out. And you think about what's going on out in the world and not even what's going on necessarily today, but what potentially is gonna happen in 2 weeks, and it's really out of our control. What
right.
what can we control today? A push-up, 25 push-ups. You know, and like I feel I feel for people who, if they started their journey, anybody who's got the potential to fall off their path, but like if you started your journey 2 weeks ago and then you're confronted with this, this is a big hurdle that somebody's thrown down in front of you. You know what I mean? Like, especially if you're
kind of, don't quit, baby.
Yeah,
Ethan. Don't, and that's it. Listen, sometimes it's as simple as, and you just said it, man. Why everyone's whacking out is out of their control.
Right.
You know, when you reach the age of 35, 40, 40, you know, you start feeling like, whoa, what's happened with me in my life? 50, 60, right? And then you're thinking, and there's this, you know, sometimes you get a feeling like, ooh, I got a pain, man. What is this?
Yeah.
Right? That sense of impending doom, right? And it goes through everybody's mind at some point. This is a moment. And if you just say it, it's just a moment. We're going to get through it. The sun will come up tomorrow.
Yep.
The sun will come up tomorrow. And I urge everybody, you know, stay a lot away from the news, right? You know, look, you can sit glued in front of it. It's good to be smart, good to be up to speed, good to know what's going on. But we do know this, control what you can control. And you, Ethan, you said it, man. It's 100% right. Look, I'm a big believer in, especially right now, you know, make sure wherever you're working, a lot of people have to work from home, make sure the desk is clean,
right?
Not muddied up, right? Make sure the area that you're working in, keep it nice and clean. I don't mean wash it down. I mean, you know,
tidy.
No piles of stuff, right? No piles of stuff. Get focused. Visualize. Take control. Don't quit. Right? I can do this. And then put, write everything down. Whatever you have to do today, start right now. Put it on. Physically write. I'm not talking about put it into your phone. I'm literally saying try to find a pen or a pencil. It's a great exercise.
They still exist.
I know for a fact they do. I got a bunch in my house if you need one.
Yeah.
Right? And I still have the hard line at the house. Old school, baby.
I love it.
You're damn right. Right? But write down what I need to do today. And then at the end of the day, here's what's great about that. Things you've accomplished, cross them off. Cross them off. Even if they're small tasks, cross them off. It's a sense of accomplishment. I've done something today, right? And you get out of that tsunami of panic, of fear. And it's things start to slow down for you. And you can now focus on what it is you need to do. And I recommend this. Do a little bit of exercise the second you get up. Take that, right, that don't quit challenge that I just talked about. I'm doing it real simple. But it's that sense of accomplishment. And if you do that, hey, man, I can do 25 push-ups, man. And tomorrow I'm going to do 27 push-ups. And now I'm challenging me. And that's what you have to do. Take control of your destiny. Take control of what you can control right now in the confines of your home, in your apartment, in your room. You can do this.
Yeah.
You got to believe, though. And that's what it is, Ethan. And you've done it. You've overcome. You've lost hundreds of pounds, man. Humans can't do that. Look what you've been able to do. You're a successful actor. You're a great husband. I bet you if I met you 20 years ago, you wouldn't be telling, I'd say, hey, is he going to be a dad? I don't know. Maybe you would say, yeah, I'm going to be. But look at what you've been able to accomplish in your life.
Yeah, I wanted to be a dad as a young person, but I don't think I had faith that I would just based on the direction that my life was going. And until that day, and what you said is very important, that I made the decision, nothing was going to. It was a dwindling spiral, you know, it was going downhill.
Right.
And then the moment I made that decision, and it's so true, you know, had my wife come to me and said, you need to make a change. And by the way, she was only my girlfriend at the time. Had she come, I don't know if I make the change this in the same impactful way. I don't know that that is how it works. Now, maybe she could have inspired me, but it really, really required me making that decision.
That's right. And right. She could have been the greatest, coolest, cutest, sweetest, smartest person. But if you weren't ready, if you weren't ready to make that change. And let me just say something about change. You know, change is rough. Change is really tough. That's why, listen, that's why people, you know, and you're listening right now, that's why people who are in a bad job or a bad relationship or a bad space don't get out of it, because it's hard. It's hard to make that change. And sometimes people will say to themselves or to friends, well, at least I have the job, man. At least I'm, you know, at least I'm in a relationship.
Yeah.
No, here's the deal. Change is rough and change is tough until you have the right motivation, you have the right inspiration, and the right tools.
Yeah.
Motivation, inspiration, and tools create change.
And I think tools, a lot of tools are education. Like when we think about what is this quarantine going to mean? Is it going to mean I only have access to unhealthy food and no access to a gym? Well, I'm going to not, like, my whole physical goal is going to go out the window now, because I'm going to sit, I'm going to look at my phone, I'm going to watch the news, I'm going to be kind of woe is me, I'm going to eat Domino's pizza. Like, it's a disaster waiting.
See, now you just gone down, you just opened door number two, which is the boogeyman door, right? You just did everything. But you know what, though? I appreciate you being honest. That's awesome.
Yeah.
You being honest about it, because I would imagine a lot of the gang listening to you is going, that's right, dude. that's exactly what I'm going to be doing. And I'm going to say, wait a second, because it's that decision.
Yeah.
You got door number one there, too. And door number one, and by the way, door number two, to have that Domino's pizza ain't a bad thing on a Saturday. Ain't a bad thing one night a week.
Right.
You know, if you got the urge, and we've talked about this before, it's important that, especially during these times, man, you know, comfort food, something that makes you feel a little pumped up, man. I get it. We all get it. I do the same thing, man. I mean, listen, if I run out of McConnell's ice cream, I'm going to be in trouble. I can just tell you that right now. You know, mint chocolate chip, I'll be fighting people, you know. But it's a thing. It's moderation. Everything in moderation. But if you do something positive for yourself, and Ethan, like, you can tell the story a thousand times. You don't need me. You know, once you started on that path, you started seeing, looking in that mirror and saying, man, I'm feeling great. I'm looking great, too. I'm feeling better. And every day that you're further away from the crap that you were doing, it becomes further and further in that rearview mirror. It's always there. I've spoken to my friends who, you know, are part of Alcoholics Anonymous and things of the, to say, hey, listen, eating, drinking, moderation is what the key is in life. And it's always there. Listen, I had a terrible stutter growing up. You don't hear a lot of it now. I've worked on it, but it's always in the back of my mind. It's always there. Everybody has something.
Yeah.
Everybody deals with something. But at this moment, at this time, exercise, something simple that you can do in your house. I'm telling you right now, you just follow along what I'm saying to do. And this is free. This is not, you know, there's no charge on this kind of stuff like that. Like I said, I'm brand new to Instagram. My son's got me zoned in. I've known I had to do this for a long time. And Ethan, like you said, I've gotten 1,000 phone calls of people from healthcare professionals, healthcare companies, my partners, you know, different sponsors saying, Jake, would you do this? And I said, absolutely, it's time.
Yeah.
And this was my moment now.
Yeah. I think it is a really powerful tool when you talk about tools, because I think if it requires a little bit of education, certainly. So once you understand how the human body deals with food, you can be, it is something that you can be totally in control of. Do you know what I mean? And
yes.
And like, I wake up today and I go, what's going to happen today? Is it going to get worse? Is the news going to be worse? That I have no control of. But what I do have control of is I can go into the room that's set aside in my house, at the time being, it's like the triage room for exercise, and I can I can do push-ups. That I can control.
I love, you know what? I love the triage room. I think that's awesome. I think that's awesome, Ethan.
And even if it was just a corner of my bedroom, there would be a triage area that is just push-ups, sit-ups, squats, whatever I'm going to do, my two dumbbells that I have, I'm going to lift those until I get a pump or whatever it is, that's going to be the area that I control.
And then you know what? You do it, but you got to be, it's like anything else. Be religious about it. Be religious about it. That's your little area. That's what you do. Roll out of bed, just like you brush your teeth in the morning, man. Got to get the pump,
yeah.
You know? And even if it's something, look, right now, everyone's got to understand this. We're not going to gyms, okay? You're not going to get what the workouts you've been doing. So don't lose your mind. By the way, it took me a long time to be able to say those words, right?
Yeah.
You know, I started, you know, when I travel, I'm in hotels, you know, I used to lose my mind because I couldn't get my the right workout in, you know, on my, I'm old school, right? So, you know, Monday and Thursday, chest and tries, Tuesday, Friday, back and buys, Wednesday, Saturday, shoulders and legs, abs every day. Calves, I've always had small calves, so it's a waste for me to do them anymore. I'll just tell you that. Doesn't work.
I'll tell you what's good for calves, weighing 500 pounds for a few years. Great calf workout.
Ethan, man, you're the best. You're the best. This is great. This has really been fun, buddy.
Yeah,
fun talking to you.
Thank you so much. And I think it's really helpful. I think what you're doing on Instagram is gonna help a lot of people.
Yeah, push it out. Would you for
yes,
me? It'll be
for
great.
Sure.
I'm counting on you to do that. I know you got a passionate base, and this is really going to be terrific. And I look forward to continuing our conversations.
Tell us the Instagram handle again. Is it Body by Jake?
It's Official Body by Jake.
Okay.
Official Body by Jake.
This is amazing. Jake, thank you so much.
Keith, I'm proud of you, buddy. Keep up the great work, huh?
All right. And when this all dies down, we're going to do a proper in-person interview.
Let's do an in-person interview. We'll get some food, and you come to the house. We'll get a workout in.
I love it. I'm in. Thanks for listening to American Glutton. If you have a question, you can submit it to AmericanGlutton.net. Seth writes in, dieting while exercising or dropping weight first, then exercising. A lot of people say I should lose my fat first, then exercise. I enjoy exercising, but I'd be lying if I said I didn't feel the effects of trying to move around a 400-pound body in HIIT workouts. HIIT would be high-intensity interval training. Thanks for the question, Seth. 400 pounds. I don't know what your physical capabilities are at 400 pounds, but I know when I was 400 pounds, I could certainly do some exercise. I don't know if I was up to doing HIIT exercises. When I was 500 pounds, I did not exercise a lot. I was more focused on losing some fat. But then by the time I was 400 pounds, I could do some exercise. I don't know that I would recommend HIIT at that weight. You could even just be taking walks or lifting some weights. I don't know that I would have been doing something as intensive as HIIT stuff. My recommendation to you is not to not exercise. It is to do both, but, you know, you want to be wary of things like your knees and your ankles and stuff like that at higher weights. So you could ride an exercise bike. You know, lifting weights shouldn't be a problem. And continue to lose weight. Now, if you want to do something radical and drop a bunch of weight first, totally fine. But I think that the effects of exercise are super beneficial. So I would not recommend not exercising. Thanks for the question, Seth. If you have a question you'd like read on the podcast, you can submit it to AmericanGlutton.net. Thanks for listening to this episode of American Glutton. I'm Ethan Suplee, and as always, joined by my chaperone, Paige Dorian. Follow us on Instagram @AmericanGluttonPodcast. Sincerely.